to In Defense of Humanity on this first day of spring, 2015. We've had a pretty day here in central Ohio. It's been 60 degrees. Good sign of things to come. This program, In Defense of Humanity, is about helping people reawaken to the wonderful qualities of our own species. Well, accepting and understanding that the current commercial legal structure, both government and business, is built upon, is actively working to take control of most organic life forms on our planet. Restoring our unalienable rights and preserving our planet will require that we, the people, understand what has happened and learn how to empower ourselves as living men and women. My name is Al Whitney. I am the editor of the AntiCorruptionSociety.com website and Parents Against Mandatory Vaccine website. Normally, I co-host this program with Ingrid Castle of VacLib.org, but Ingrid's off tonight. So tonight, we have a program planned for you. We're going to talk about the Delphi Perception Management Technique of the RAND Corporation. A lot of people have talked about this. I don't know how many understand that the Delphi technique was created by the RAND Corporation to do exactly what it does, which is it manipulates the perception of the participants and it manipulates the perception of the public. So we're going to talk more about how that's done. The controllers really like this program. It is one of their favorite methods of manipulating the population today. The Delphi technique is the creation of the RAND Corporation, and the RAND Corporation was founded by the Rockefellers. Key in identifying the usage of the Delphi technique is the word consensus. You hear that all the time. That is a key word. When you hear consensus, pay attention. RAND has spread this deceptive strategy across the planet. It is currently and commonly used in academics, government institutions, private regional planning commissions, the military, and nonprofit organizations. Two notable and important examples of the use of the Delphi technique are, number one, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change's titled paper called Climate Change, the IPCC Scientific Assessment. That was the number one report that they did, bringing into the world the whole idea that global warming is very real and we should all be afraid and we're all going to have to change our lifestyle. Well, that was done by the RAND Corporation technique called the Delphi. And another important one is the Institute of Medicine and National Academies of Science report called The Adverse Effects of Vaccines, Evidence and Causality. In fact, the National Academy of Sciences boasts their usage of the Delphi technique in their creation of mumbo-jumbo science by openly labeling their reports as, and they do this, they put a little sticker on it and they call it an expert consensus report. And we have an article about that. We're going to post in the links, the program links. I'm going to remind people or for folks who are new to the program, after the program, we put on our page, anticorruptionsociety.com homepage, there is a tab at the top that says IDH program links. And after the program, we add links to some of these items that we mentioned so people have a chance to look at them themselves. And we're going to put that article up there. Expert consensus reports are scientific mumbo jumbo. Most community organizers and agency employees have been trained in the RAND Corporation's Delphi technique. It is taught to facilitators as a method of getting a group of people to believe they have made a group decision. If you've ever attended a meeting where as those in charge of the meeting break the attendees into working groups or breakout sessions, who are then tasked to discuss a topic and bring the results back to the larger group, you have been Delphied. If when the meeting is over, you are not scratching your head as to what just transpired, you are a rare exception. The confusion experienced immediately post-meeting is an absolute sure sign that you were Delphi'd. The facilitators of the gathering generally proceed to report the outcome of this confusion as if a consensus of opinion had been reached by the participants. It is unlikely that their version of consensus represents your opinions, thoughts, ideas, or concerns. It is far more likely that their version of a consensus represents the goal of the facilitators who initiated the meeting in the first place. The outcome was generally predetermined. Your job, the reason you were invited, was so that you could sign in, fill a chair, and allow them to cite you, either individually or as a group, as a supporter of their self-serving goal or agenda. In fact, many times the goals of these organizers are associated with terms and conditions of grants they have already signed contracts for. So the decision in many cases have already been made, but the grants called for them to have these little public output meetings. This is extremely important to remember as you think about this commonly used strategy of falsely attaining public approval. My observations are a result of personally having been Delphi'd many times, which is how it became so obvious to me that this technique is being taught in all our so-called institutions. And I have to tell you, I did not catch on right away. It happened to me over and over and over. After each event, the confusion was there, and I could not quite put my finger on what went wrong. But somehow, my expectations weren't met at any of them. And here's the ones that I've attended. Excuse me. A medical school faculty retreat, a regional planning commission, a local land use nonprofit seeking public participation, city government visioning workshops for the public, a nonprofit executive director engaged in annual conference planning, and an independent organizer trying to get a large number of people to address a shared concern. The same feeling of post-meeting confusion followed all of these events. The post-meeting conversations that took place by attendees in the parking lot were all basically the same. We asked each other, what the heck was that all about? We all felt the organizer's stated purpose that enticed us to the meeting in the first place was just a pretense for an altogether different, undisclosed agenda, and we were right. Unfortunately, at the time, we were not able to figure out what the undisclosed agenda was. An example of this strategy is a group called the Renewable Energy 25 by 25 Coalition. They got together and they got like 400 organizations to participate in this program that they were going to come up with. 25% of our energy produced in this country was going to be renewable by year 2025. Well, they came up with this program. They put out their report. They had all these signatures, not signatures. I'm not going to say they were all signed. They listed these 400 organizations as being participants, inferring that all of them agreed with the results of the report. And the report strongly pushed corn ethanol as a solution. So I was indignant. I know corn ethanol is not a solution to anything other than depleting our soil and destroying our ability to grow food. I called one of the organizations who participated, an individual who worked for the Union of Concerned Scientists, and I said, are you telling me that you went to this event and you promoted corn ethanol as a solution to anything? He said, well, no, but we were outvoted. And I quickly realized that the players at the table with the most money, that there was an agenda already on the table, everyone else was occupying a chair, and their opinion wasn't going to matter anyway. So that was like my first introduction in how this is really playing out in the background with some real nasty results. The goal of gathering was to manipulate the attendees so that a predetermined outcome could be artificially created and sold as a consensus. For the most part, the general public remains completely unaware of these efforts, even though the outcomes will most likely directly impact their lives. Often the names of the participants or participating groups are then assigned to the outcome, as in the case of the IPCC, and used to enhance the initiating organization's credibility and help sell their goal to others. Many times the goals become part of public policies that are implemented without the consent of the public. A good example is the climate change policies that are ongoing by the IPCC. The public had nothing to say with that. There are meetings now going on across the country to help each community prepare for climate change with retrofitting, and they're trying to set up policies. Deborah Tavares has talked about that, whereas everybody will be required to do retrofitting of their homes and required to pay for the retrofitting, all based on the bogus climate warming science. And it's moving along rapidly. It is well-funded, and the majority of the population had nothing to say about it. Again, this was done originally in a Delphi meeting by the IPCC. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, a consensus is a general agreement. Specifically, it means that a group of two or more people have consented to an idea that they consented to an idea. So, lost my place. Sorry, folks. An idea or plan. Okay. Well, one should be able to assume that more than 50% of those that participating in a Delphi program have fully understood the topic and have agreed to support a plan or a position. It's generally not the case. Now, it's easy to identify, and it's unlikely that people are going to go their whole lives without ever encountering this Delphi, because it is everywhere. But it's easy to identify the manipulation and the Delphi technique when you break it down. And that's what we've done. And we had a lot of help from Wikipedia when we looked it up. They described this process and how it is used. And we put that together with what we've been seeing on Boots on the Ground. And we have a pretty good idea how this strategy is what plays out. Step one, a single individual, a group of people, an organization, or a corporate government agency establishes a goal, like the initiation of a new policy or the creation of a useful report. Step two, the initiators invite people with or without expertise or knowledge of the issue to a gathering for their input, like a think tank. In fact, sometimes they schmooze them a little bit. Whoa, your input would be so valuable. Oh, we really need your help on this because you're just so bright. Or, you know, they do a lot of that to get people to attend these meetings. The invitees generally include a very small group of experts and many non-experts who can be easily persuaded to support the goal. Example, on the IPCC, they included many non-scientists. If you do your search and search out non-scientists for IPCC, you're going to find the majority were not scientists. In fact, I was even introduced to one of them who attended their very first conference. While he was a nice fellow, he knew absolutely nothing about climatology. He was the owner of a solar panel company. He was invited because he was what they refer to as a stakeholder. So you can imagine, he had a special interest in the outcome of that conference, an interest that would benefit him financially. Step three, the assigned moderators or facilitators define the goal to the group at the beginning, generally in relatively broad terms. Step 4, the facilitators seek group input. They can either break the group into smaller groups or topics for discussion led by another facilitator, or they can administer surveys, polls, or questionnaires to the group using carefully worded and limited questions. Have you ever noticed that if you can control the questions, you can control the dialogue? Questions like, should we even be considering this issue, are not permitted. The facilitator's step five. The facilitators cherry pick the results, format them, and present them as a group decision, calling it a consensus. Thus, they ensure that the results always support the predetermined goal. Step 6. The names or number of the participants or participating organizations are attached to the final report, giving it the appearance of credibility. In spite of the fact that the participants are rarely allowed to review and or approve of the final outcome. Another example of this was exposed in that wonderful documentary that I recommend to everyone, called The Great Global Warming Swindle. It includes the testimony of a scientist who participated in the IPCC's first consensus meeting. He was so incensed by their final report on climate change, which he was not allowed to see or sign off on, but he was so incensed that he sued them to have his name removed. When he simply asked them to remove his name, they declined his request. He had to sue them, and they finally did remove his name, which shows that they were using his name to support their bogus scientific report. By the Delphi technique of policymaking can affect the lives of vast number of people, as we see with the whole climate change thing. And those responsible using this technique managed to escape accountability via a plausible deniability factor that has been intentionally built into the Delphi technique itself. By controlling the following factors, a structured group can be handpicked and manipulated into seemingly supporting policies they don't agree with or reports they know to be blatantly false. The facilitator, the invitees, the questionnaires, the surveys or the polls, the discussions, the final scores, and the final report. When you control those, the results are easily manipulated. Okay, we're going for our first break. We'll be back shortly.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Back to In Defense of Humanity. Tonight's consensus night. We're exposing the myth of consensus and the manipulation that's used around that word. Whenever you hear, I don't think you're going to find an exception to the rule. Whenever you hear a scientific report that is a consensus report, you've got bogus science. You've got manipulation. And I'll have to tell you, there was a wonderful, I don't know if you can find it on the web anymore, Michael Crichton did a debate with the climate change computer modelers. He and I think it was Timothy Ball and there was another gentleman, and he brought the point up when Michael had his turn to speak. He brought up the point that consensus science is bogus science. I mean, he said that, I've said that, and it's not, anybody looks at the scientific method understands that consensus science is not real science. Sadly, when you've got the National Academy of Sciences promoting consensus science, then you've got a major organization that has chosen to break from real science and chosen to promote and support bogus science. So take them off your list of institutions that are credible. I'd be happy to take any callers, particularly. It'd be great to hear from people, to hear their different Delphi experiences. But to show a little more how this works and how I've seen it firsthand, okay? When in the 80s, my husband was invited to a medical faculty retreat. They set the whole thing up. This happens all the time across the country. In fact, you even see it on TV shows. Everybody goes to this retreat, this working retreat, okay? And in comes the facilitator, and in comes the Delphi. And the goal of that was to change the medical education program to a systems program. That's significant. Now I know what a systems program is, and maybe we'll get to that in the future. Systems are always sold as being more efficient, which means the profiteers get a bigger cut of the profits, really. When they talk about making it more efficient, they're talking about a small percentage of the group getting more money and everybody else getting less or jobs being eliminated. But they had everyone in the room, and they broke into these sessions. They managed to get what they called a consensus, that the faculty indeed was going to change all their program to a system-style program. Afterward, talking to the individuals who attended, most of them didn't know what that meant, and most of them didn't support it. But nevertheless, on paper, they've got their consensus. And it wasn't good. It was not a good change for the medical college. In fact, it was a bad change for them. Regional Planning Commission meetings. I've been to these, and they had one where everybody, I don't know, there must have been 500 people that were invited. I had friends who were so excited. They wanted to go because they felt they'd have input. In fact, they tell you, come to the meeting, and you can, it's visioning, and you can input your ideas. And I know some people who were so enthused, they took their notes with them, thinking they would have an opportunity to input ideas. The groups were broken down into little working groups. Each little working group had a facilitator, and the facilitator directed the conversation, the dialogue, exactly the way they wanted it directed. My friends had no opportunity to offer their ideas. They were greatly disappointed. When the large group came back together, they shared the results of all these little groups, and the people in front of the room heralded it as a wonderful, successful event. Well, the people in the parking lot later said, what the heck was that? None of their expectations were met. None of their ideas were considered, and they were most disappointed. My own little city had a visioning workshop. City employees were even at this workshop. All they did was hire a facilitator and rent a room and Delphi'd everybody. And nothing that anybody wanted was considered. Again, predetermined outcome. I even went to a small nonprofit. And I remember this woman who was the executive director of this nonprofit. At one time, she told me I should learn how to be a facilitator. And I had a small organization. It wasn't a nonprofit. It was just a small organization at the time. And I just simply didn't have time to pursue that. So I never went to take facilitator training. But she wanted to have her annual conference, and she invited about four of us, three representing other local organizations, to help her plan her annual conference. We had altogether three planning sessions. This woman was Delphi-ing us, and we knew something was wrong because she wasn't taking any of our ideas seriously. She kept kind of pushing us to think more, to do more. We had like three different two-hour sessions to come up with the plan. Okay, I'll tell you what happened when we come back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
So who else will you meet at the Get Prepared Expo? For starters, from Republic Broadcasting, John Moore and John Statmiller. From GCN, Aaron and Brad Dakins, Joyce Riley, and me, Vincent Finelli. Joining us are the instructors whom you've learned to trust, Surgeon of the Year, Dr. Norman Shuley. Engineer, Matt Stein. The real Fox Mulder of the X-Files, Dr. Richard Allen Miller. Author and analyst, Captain John Reagan. Your counterterrorist from Central America, Mike Ma. Dental center owner and my dentist, Dr. Howard Shane. Radiation instructor, Craig Douglas. Author and survivalist, Rich Sheban. Author, Judy Dollarhite. Cancer center owner from Mexico, Dr. Patrick Vickers. Bug out expert and pilot, Captain Bill Sermo. Beekeeper, Jeff Maddox. Seedsman, Mike Knox. Author Gayla Pruitt, author Harry Cooper, food expert Joe Acapinti, and Bill Whaley, the Junk Man, March 27, 28, and 29. GetPreparedExpo.com, the largest preparedness and survival expo in the USA.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Order today at 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
And we're back. This is In Defense of Humanity, and we're talking about consensus and the Delphi technique. And I was talking about my experience with this small nonprofit and the four of us trying to set up an annual conference. And we were going to co-sponsor with this woman who I really like. She is a delightful woman. She had her organization for 20 years. I mean, she's kind of a pillar in the community. She had a great group. They're still around doing great things. But she had been sold on this strategy. I'm not sure who sold her on it, but she had been sold on this strategy, and it didn't bother her to inflict it on a small group of us who were just there to try to help. And she did. She stuck her goals. Nothing we came up with. Oh, well, I think we can, let's work in this and let's work harder. And we haven't really nailed this down yet. And she dragged this thing on. Two of us said we've given this thing 3 days of our life. We worked 3 hours at each session and she's not getting anywhere. We dropped out, and the individual who somehow knew what she wanted to do stayed and planned the whole conference for her. And it was exactly the predetermined that she wanted. Instead of just saying, this is what I want to do, she thought she'd try the Delphi technique. And trick us into creating the program that she was already committed to, that she already wanted to do. So I didn't much appreciate that, and I don't think anybody does, truthfully. This is really a deceptive, manipulative strategy. Now, the only time I've seen it work where I honestly know the individuals in front of the room were not there to deceive 200 attendees. They wanted to try. Actually, they told me point blank, this is a strategy of working with a large group of people that they were eager to try. It was an experiment for them. They had read about the Delphi technique. They never told me which book they read, or they never gave it a name, but I actually rented the room for them to allow them to do this. They did the Delphi technique, only they didn't have a predetermined outcome, which made everything sort of different. They had the audience decided what 8 breakout groups the audience wanted. So they had the people come up with names for breakout groups. They had people vote. Everybody chose 8 topics. Then they asked people to attend the groups that interested them most, and I was in one group. So we all went to our little groups. There was no facilitator. We had to manage our own little meeting and make our own little goals, what it is we wanted to do. We struggled with that, of course, because we hadn't given it any forethought. We were totally unprepared. We didn't know the people we were working with. So we came up with a sketchy little idea. We all got back together. We had selected one person to speak for our group. And the whole thing went up on the board, and they decided that these were committees. That we were forming committees, and we all agreed that we would meet separately, set up our own meetings. It was very democratic. You know, we'd set up our own meetings. We'd meet independently. Then we would send the information of where we were going and how much progress we were making to someone to put in a newsletter and share with the whole group. Well, consequently, I don't know what you think of that. It sounds good on paper, but without a leader, it was the instigator of this idea, wonderful man, promptly left town. And the group sort of fell apart, truthfully. There wasn't any cohesiveness. There was no mission statement. So while it was an interesting experiment, nothing was achieved from it. So I imagine had he chosen to stay around and be the leader of the group, something could have happened. But as it was, nothing did. But this is, it's just endemic. It's everywhere. Generally, it's designed to make the public feel that they're still participating in what is called government or what is called public policy today, when it is anything but true. They are not participants. They are being manipulated. I really resent it. I resent the organizations that do it. I honestly now believe the facilitators who are engaged in this know they're manipulating the people in the room and do so willingly and intentionally without any sense of doing wrong. They have been so conditioned and programmed to think that this is acceptable that they don't mind doing it at all. They do it for money. We have facilitators now that go around the country, and they're for hire to set up these little sessions and manipulate the people in the room. They get organizations to sign their name on, and then they use that organization to give themselves credibility. They like to have a lot of people in the room so they can say we had a gathering of 100 people, and the consensus of 100 people was such and such. Now they're promoting science as a consensus. This is all deception, and it all started, the whole concept started with the RAND Corporation. Alex Abila, who worked for the RAND Corporation, wrote a book. I believe the name of the book is Soldier of Reason. And you can Google him or do a search on the internet, Alex Abila, and he did a wonderful interview on Alex Jones. where he explained what the RAND Corporation truly is, where it came from. He was with the RAND Corporation kind of what Carol Quigley was with the Council on Foreign Relations. He was an insider who started to see things going amok. And then he decided to write about who the RAND Corporation is and what they're up to. And he exposed the fact that individuality and national people who are committed to their nation, who have some national pride, and people who are altruistic, all those things are a problem for the controllers. That is the social engineering they want to get rid of. And the way they're doing it is, of course, because they control money and you need a job to feed your family, they have pretty much invaded our society with their social cultural conditioning, so that if you're not willing to do the wrong thing to make a living, there's no job for you. That's why they had to get rid of altruism. They had to make people be willing to do dishonorable behavior just to keep the paycheck coming in. And when it became so prevalent that the society starts to say things like, well, you know, I'm just doing what everyone else is doing, I'm just trying to make a living, sadly, that's a sign of their success. The number of people who are engaged in things like the Delphi technique and don't have any hint of guilt about this is because they see everyone else is doing it too. Therefore, the consensus is that it's okay. I'm not entirely sure, folks, and I'd love to have somebody call in and give me their experience with Delphi or their ideas of how to combat this, because too often, if the results are predetermined, your presence is being used to justify a predetermined result. Therefore, there isn't pretty much anything you're going to do in the room that will change that. Now, there have been YouTubes up about the Delphi technique where people have actually stood up and insisted on being heard. And yeah, it can slow down the meeting. And they do, however, target these individuals. And the facilitator tries to look like he's the nice guy, and the person who's objecting is made to look like he's the problem. But I'm not sure that standing up and trying to break the spell is going to change the outcome. That's the problem. I'm not sure it's going to change the outcome, because the policies may have already been bought and paid for. The grants may have already been signed. The money may have already exchanged hands, which is what we're seeing with all this climate change stuff. So the meeting itself is just meeting the criteria of the grant. A wonderful thing to do, particularly on climate change and other things, is to ask when you see a policy coming down the pike. You see in the paper, well, they're talking about doing this, they're talking about doing that, is to contact, whether it be the county commissioners, your city council, whomever, send them a Freedom of Information request and ask if there is a grant. We did that in my city, and we found out, indeed, there was a grant. And ask to have a copy of the grant. And so far, they've been willing to send you a copy of the grant. When you look at the grant, you will see all the terms and conditions of that money. And the money is generally coming from one of the federal corporate agencies. So when you see the terms and conditions, you will frequently find listed is public comment. And that's what they're doing. They're meeting that term and condition regarding public comment. So your chances of stopping anything at a Delphi meeting. I don't know how others feel about this. I think your chances are not good. you're probably going to have more luck when these policies that come from the Delphi meeting start to get implemented, challenging the authority of the corporate government that is attempting to get you to consent or contract and participate in whatever it is they want you to do. Probably that would be more successful than trying to stop a Delphi meeting. Now, there are YouTubes where people have gone and disrupted them, and I find that interesting, but again, you're talking here about, for instance, the IPCC decision resulted in federal grants going out across the country for energy audits and retrofitting. And many municipalities and counties took this money, and their job is to put in place rules or laws which would force you to do retrofitting. In fact, in one community in California, the city council voted, I'm not sure if it was city council or the county commissioners, they voted to allow these two banks, and Ingrid and I have said this almost every week since we started, and it's almost been a year now, the banks are behind it all. But there are banks that want to offer loans to people who don't have the money. So when they pass the policy requiring the energy audit and the retrofitting, that these people who don't have the money will be told, oh, no problem, we have these loans for you. I'm sure you're going to qualify for a loan. So what they want to do to those people is pass a policy to mandate by local statute or ordinance or state statute or ordinance that they have an energy audit and that they have, if necessary, that they do remodeling and retrofitting to be more energy efficient. Now, here's the tragedy. The tragedy is that if they can't pay back that policy, it will go in as a tax lien on their property. And that's the agreement this local government has agreed to. Now, that's tragic, just to see what they're doing. They're forcing these people into indebtedness. And if they can't pay, then they may lose their property because it will end up as a lien on their taxes. If they can't pay their taxes, they lose their property. Doesn't this sound like your typical bankster scam? Just another version of the same old scam. But when it comes to some of these policies that come out of this consensus science, we have to go back and we can talk a little bit more about this in particular in the next hour. We have to go back to the fact, what authority does that municipality have to force you into a contract with a banker? And the truth is, they do not have the authority to force you to sign any contract whatsoever. And if you have a chance to go back and listen to last week's program, we did it on contracts, and we broke it down on IDH program links. You can see that we added some links for people to look at. We're back to contract law here. So if these governments want to pass policies and force you into certain behavior buying products, or allowing them into your home for an energy audit. We have strategies so that people do not have to fall prey to these scams. Again, we do not have to fall prey to these scams. If you understand how the legal system really works and how the corporate government really works, there are strategies that you can use to defend against what's going on. We have a caller from Idaho. Good evening, Bill. Are you there?
I haven't heard it. Didn't hear that chirp. God bless you. Thanks.
Good evening.
Thanks for the broadcast. Excellent points. I just mentioned, in the Potomac Village, and certainly what's going on for Idaho in general, at least North Idaho that I can see, the Delphi technique is used everywhere from the city council to the school board. They got more than one facilitator. But I would mention ADA, Americans with Disabilities Act. I believe it's been now long settled.
Bill. Bill, we're going to go on a break. Bill, will you hang on and come back after the break with us?
Sure, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay, great. Okay, we'll talk to Bill right after the break. Thank you.
Your money, what is it worth today? A $100 bill in 1913 is worth only $2 today. So now, your money is just about worthless, and the Fed will continue printing more and more of it. But what if you could turn it around, $1 at a time, and make your money worth more than it is now? How? By acquiring gold before your paper money is totally worthless. But how can you afford gold at today's prices? By buying it 1 gram at a time. And this is so important because gold is the future. For as little as $65, you can begin trading your almost worthless currency for something real, something you can hold. Carat bars, which keep their value, can be stored securely, and are easily accessible, just like a savings account, but a savings account backed by your gold. Carat Bars International, a savings account you can count on. For more information, please click on the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. Again, that's the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. And start saving now.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Extendivite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. You know, I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Want something different from your detox? Then you want Hemp USA's Microplant Powder for a full body detox. With 7 formulations and 8 different sizes, you will feel and see the difference. And the best part? It's only about $10 a month. Our customers love it, and we ship worldwide. Get the detox difference. Get Microplant Powder from HempUSA.org. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org. See what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at HempUSA.org.
Okay, this is Al Whitney, and we're back with Bill from Idaho. Okay, Bill, go on.
Well, I just wanted to mention, you know, my observation from city council to the school board meetings. They have certainly more than one facilitator, and they certainly act in that that manner. It's obvious that they have, a large cadre of policy people that are for any specific particular issue going on, they want money for or whatever. The Americans with Disabilities Act is a classic. They use that on a regular basis here, and it's a national where they control the elections. Actually, in point of fact, the American with Disabilities Act is the manner in which they use the electronic voting. And so it's a very, very effective mechanism of destroying a republic in, you know, one step, basically. Each application has a different leadership, whether it's, you know, from an administrative standpoint or policy. It all ends up in the same blender. It's pretty despicable, but nobody recognizes it. That's
the sad thing. That is the sad thing, Bill. And I'm hoping that by some of the listeners will start to identify these meetings and understand what you did, Bill, that we have lost representative government.
And unfortunately, even temporarily, I think when people get cold enough, hungry enough, or frightened enough, that possibly they might actually get up from the front of their TV and actually get out to public forums and make sure that, you know, right prevails, so to speak.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, if I was going to try to influence anyone at these meetings and make a comment, my comment would be, this entire meeting, this entire program is deception, and I can't, and I probably would say, it's really despicable that you are willing to put this much time and energy into deceiving all these good people. You know?
Maybe that thing is, you mentioned that even at church, pointing out the partnership between the 501c3 corporate churches and the administrative policies that they're putting in place at a frightening rate, as far as I can see. And it's absolutely amazing.
It is amazing.
How many stares you get. Well, what's wrong with you? You're not very nice for a Christian.
Oh, my.
Truth would will out that, you know, actually, our Heavenly Father's Son was the first, what, social dissident of his temple, and he spoke out forthrightly and honestly as he saw the issue, and yet at the same time, he was the enemy, of course.
Yes. Well, we're going for a break. Bill, if you have more to add, you want to come back, or...
There's surely somebody else that wants to get in. I didn't mean to dominate the conversation. I'll just bow out with just that.
Okay, thanks so much for your call, and it was good to hear from you. Okay, we're going to break, and we'll start our second hour right after this break.